This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
If you go to the Washed Ashore Gallery in Bandon, Oregon, you will see some giant and colorful sculptures of marine life. These giant objects are composed of hundreds of pieces of garbage, all of which were collected on Oregon beaches. There's a styrofoam coral reef, Henry the Fish, a plastic bottle jellyfish, a replica oil spill, and a musical sea star. They're all part of a community art project called Washed Ashore, which also has a traveling exhibit now in Chula Vista, California. Angela Hazeltine-Pozzi is the founder and creative lead for the project, and she joins me now from Oregon. Hello, Angela.
Hello there.
Can you talk about your giant musical starfish? What would you use to see when approaching that piece?
Yes. Well, it is a very large piece. It's about 14 feet across, and it has five giant arms out from it. And I had this idea that as many ways that we can get people to interact with the issue of marine debris is the way to get the message across. And so I decided to bring in the element of music. And so I worked with another artist to create a musical sea star, which has all of the glass bottles, or some of the glass bottles that we picked up off of the beaches, as well as plastic bottles and various marine debris, a lot of little white pieces that are very sharp, and to get the spiky feel of the sea star. And then this artist and I figured out how to create a sound from this by filling the bottles with different types of different height of water, and then you can actually blow into them or you can hit them. And it's actually great fun, and it sort of is a way of getting people to get close and interact with the issue by making music, and it gets people talking about musical sea stars aren't that common, so it gets people's attention.
Another of the pieces is a fish created from plastic that has teeth marks in it. Can you talk about that?
Well, that's a wall piece that is, some people say, is one of our most powerful pieces, and it's not as enormous as some of our pieces are, but it is constructed of the bite marks in plastic that we pick up on a regular basis off the beaches, and it is a clear indication, clear evidence that the fish and the seals and the turtles and all that are eating this stuff. And you really can't deny that when you see bite marks, and it's very evident, they're bite marks. So I've constructed this into basically a collage of a fish, and we call it Fish Bite Fish. And it just kind of is kind of gut-wrenching, because really that's what this whole show is about, is really beautiful and horrifying at the same time, and that's really how it's designed.
What are some of the ways that you connect these giant objects of sea life? Which, I mean, I just watched a video about the exhibition, and they are absolutely gorgeous. How do you then connect people with the realities of marine pollution?
Well, we have some very, very scientifically based and simple to understand signage that goes with each piece that talks about what the problems are, how those animals are affected by marine debris. For instance, we have a giant whalebone rib cage that you can walk through. It's 23 feet long and 9 feet tall. And in the signage, we talk about what's happening to whales. The whales are ingesting the plastics and being washed up on beaches. And then we talk about what can you do to help. So we have an every action counts on every signage. And then we also have a adjoining curriculum and work that we do with schools and tours, wherever the exhibit is, to really make that educational connection. And that's something that's kind of unique about this exhibit. As a, I'm a 30-year educator, but also an artist, and so my feeling is that this needs to really be a power punch of an educational exhibit, but using the arts as the way of really communicating clearly and to a wide variety of people.
In the video, there's an interview with a girl who has seen an exhibit called the Jellyfish Exhibit, and she obviously has clearly gotten the message about that. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yes, we've created at least three giant sea jellies. They call them sea jellies these days because of the scientists are always correcting us. The sea jellies are made of water bottles and plastic bags, which are some very, very poignant issues out there in the consumer world right now. And we get so many water bottles washing ashore on our beaches from all around the world and from local sources. And I think that, and also the plastic bags that are in a hot topic these days, and a lot of people are talking about banning the bag and things like that, but we incorporate those elements into these sea jellies, and you can walk inside of the sea jelly and see what's going on and get up close to it, and it's almost playful. So the sea jellies are about 7 feet across and about 11 feet tall, and they also have in the innards of the jellies, as we call them, we have a lot of styrofoam pieces that have washed ashore. That also brings up the use of styrofoam in our everyday lives, and kids really get this really fast. Adults do too, but kids just, you know, they're not as depressed about all these things. They just say, well, we just need to change that. We just need to stop using water bottles. And why are we using styrofoam? Why don't we do something else?
What kind of reactions have you observed from people who are seeing the exhibit?
Well, it's interesting. I've had a few times when I've been an observer of people coming through the show where they're really stunned, and there's a couple times I've seen people cry, which is really something astounding. But that's what the size of these pieces and the massive amount of garbage that we use in this exhibit really drives it home. And it's sobering, but also playful. So you've kind of got this double thing going on. I've had people tell me that it really changes their behavior, and that's really one of our goals, is to wake people up to the fact that most of the things that we're finding on the beaches are just everyday objects, things that we use. It's not, you know, industrial or always fishing gear or anything. A lot of things are just basic stuff that are toys or things that we have in our houses. And it has changed people's consumer habits. And we've had some people actually start legislative things or become more actively involved. And we call it subliminal activism, what we do.
Right.
Kind of get people sparked. That's kind of what our goal is.
How are the pieces created? Tell me about the full cycle of collecting ocean debris to create art pieces.
Well, it's extremely labor-intensive. It starts with just regular citizens around where this project started and is continuing, is in Bend, Oregon, southern Oregon coast, one of the most beautiful coastlines, I think, in the world. And it's not considered a polluted beach. It's not considered, you know, full of garbage. But it's just like every other beach in the world, and so there is debris that's coming in from all around. And we send people down, people go on their own, people drop things off after they walk on the beach. They come and they just drop it off at our beach debris drop-off at Art 101 is our facility. And then I have two staff members who actually wash things off and soak them and scrub them, and then we sort them. We work with a variety of volunteers to sort the materials by color. in size and type. We have to test every piece to see if it's brittle, if it's been photodegraded or not, and we can, and if we can drill it or if we have to use glue, which we try not to. And then we have some people cut and drill and stitch everything. So all of the pieces are then used in a way, in a workshop setting. So we have hundreds and hundreds of community members that come in weekly to a workshop where we set up for 3 times a week for 3 hours a stretch. And I use all those years of teaching of organizing that whole thing, and people create parts of the sculpture. So we have tourists that stop by off of Highway 101 and come in for an hour and help make a fish scale, and then they know that they're part of that sculpture. And sometimes we have regular volunteers from the area, and then I take all those little pieces that everyone stitched onto wire mesh, and then I attach them to our giant frameworks. And the frameworks are welded steel that are welded by high school students. So, and we work with schools and such. So we are a nonprofit, and we are into the whole educational involvement of the community and serving our area. So, and then we're also doing satellite projects now. So that means we're setting up the same process other places.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that, because I know that you have your roots on the Oregon coast, but I know that you want your effort to be broader.
Well, it really needs to be global, and we have had a tremendous amount of interest internationally, and we are, you know, just a small nonprofit that started 2.5 years ago, and you know, working on getting the funding to keep up with the demand of people wanting to have us help them. But we have been hired by the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies in Homer, Alaska, and we have started our first satellite project up there, and they are already creating their first giant sea jelly and sea anemones and giant barnacles, and probably working on an octopus and a halibut, and I go up and consult with them and work with a lead artist that I train, and that's our Washed Ashore Homer project. We're also starting a campus down in the San Francisco Bay area as well, and then there's talk about starting one in San Diego. So I'd love to come to Vancouver, BC.
And we'd love to have you here.
Yeah, I would know that there's a lot of people who care about the ocean in that area, and it's a beautiful area. I've been up there many times.
Now, the devastating tsunami in Japan has brought a lot of attention to the movement of floating debris across the Pacific Ocean. What are your thoughts on how that heightened awareness might connect to the Washed Ashore project?
Well, it's an interesting thing. We find that people who have never thought about the fact that there's marine debris and marine debris issue are starting to realize that there is, and you know, that's kind of the silver lining on a horrible dark cloud. The tragedy of that tsunami is pulling all this extra garbage out into the ocean. And we are definitely right on the forefront of that whole awareness and collection and trying to decide what to do. And I'm in the process right now of working up a proposal for doing an exhibit that specifically tsunami debris related, which is a huge effort. But we are finding a few different things on our beaches that really are indications of something, the beginnings of things coming ashore. But it really is something we cannot ignore. It's waking up the world to the bigger issue, which is a good thing.
How can people respond to the problem of ocean pollution at a grassroots level?
Well, the very best thing you can do is to get down on the beach and pick the stuff up. The best way to help clean up the ocean is to get what we can out of the system. And then really stop and think about your own use of plastics, especially. Plastics are about 95% of everything we find on the beaches is plastic debris. And to really rethink our use of plastics and ask for more biodegradable products and try to make, you know, other consumer choices or reuse things or rethink our use of purchasing it so much and realizing that, you know, every piece of plastic will last forever. It breaks down into tiny molecular-sized, plankton-sized pieces that never go away and are toxic. So, you know, there's the picking it up off the beaches, and even if you put it in landfill, that's better than having it in the ocean in some regards. But, you know, just thinking of things differently and use some creative problem-solving in that whole stream of thinking so that maybe use them as art supplies, like we do.
Right. It's been great to talk to you this morning, Angela, and I'm going to give people your website so that they can go and have a look and they can check out the video and find out more about your project. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Love talking to you. Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Angela Hazeltine-Potsey. She's the founder and creative lead for the Washed Ashore Project. You can get involved and find out more at washedashore.org.